for all you guys. I'm thankful for this opportunity. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Yes. It takes me just a second to get ready, but I've had a really rough night, actually, which is really, I mean, I really like to prepare myself extra, in an extra way when I preach. I like to really be, have my heart just set on the Lord I really like to focus in on God, and I really like to zone in on being focused on the Lord and have a clear mind, a clear conscience, a burning heart. And I know we should live like this all the time, and I do pursue that. But I feel like when I preach, I go after it in just that with more intensity. And last night I just had I dreamt all night, just bad dreams. It's just they weren't good. And that's what I thought. But I was sitting back there, and the Lord had brought to mind just a quick little dream I had. Where it was about my dad, and he was praying in tongues in my dream, and he doesn't do that. He loves the Lord, he follows Jesus, but he doesn't pray in tongues. And so I just thought that was really cool. And but my night was not fully bad, but I woke up and I didn't feel very good. So, but I feel good now, so I'm thankful. I'm surrounded by a lot of people that love Jesus. I just hear my family is. Kendall, you can't come here and set up and being around Kendall, Dorian, and Alex and not be affected by them. It's pretty awesome. So we've had a good time this morning. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4. I thought so, but I now can't find it. Hebrews 4:12. It's 4:12. Okay. Yeah. So when I get ready, I take a topic, and my topic today is true freedom. Sincere, true freedom that is real. That's what I'll be preaching on. That's the topic. And when I started digging into the Bible, what happens is the Word of God, Hebrews chapter 4, 12, verse 12, for the Word of God is living and powerful and sharpened in a two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And that's what happens, even in my Bible reading time, but even that much more in this topic, when I dig into the Bible, and it just shines light in my heart. It shines light into my thinking, into my thought patterns, in my beliefs. So I love what the Word of God does. It's alive, it's powerful, it's spirit, and it affects us. And I love that about it. And so even throughout the week, I've been affected in this way. True freedom, what it is, and how to walk out true freedom, and even as a believer. And so I've been affected by it. I've been challenged by the Word of God. And it's okay. That's what we want. We want to be challenged on a daily basis. We want to be challenged in a true way by the Word of God and by believers. All right. So our first scriptures is going to be Ephesians chapter 2. And I'm going to preach to verse 10, pretty much every verse. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. This sermon is coming out of a heart of, from a heart that has been seeing an increase of natural disasters, human beings acting out in a more evil, increase of evil, actions out of from humans and natural disaster. So I feel like what we're seeing is the darkness in this world. When I say darkness, is humans acting out in greater levels of perversion, evilness. That shooting in Las Vegas, I don't take it lightly. It can happen anywhere. Humans, I feel like there's increasing in their evil actions, and natural disasters are increasing. So, but also the encouraging part is in my opinion, and from what I read in the Bible, light will also increase. As the end of the age is drawing near, darkness will increase, but so will light. And so I'm encouraged with that. But I this is coming from a heart of what can we do with darkness increasing? What can we do as believers with darkness increasing and light is increasing? Like, how do we increase light in our own lives? And how do we walk this out even as darkness is increasing? So that's the heart that this message is coming from. Ephesians chapter 2, and so I'm going to pray and then jump in. So, Father, we thank you. Lord, I pray that your word would be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path this morning, that the word of God would prevail, that truth would prevail in our lives, in our thinking, in our emotions, in our hearts, our spirit would burn within us. Holy Spirit, that you would awaken us. We confess that apart from you, Holy Spirit, apart from you, God, that we cannot understand your word, which is spiritual. You are spirit, God. We cannot understand you unless you give us understanding. We cannot be awakened in our own hearts unless you do it for us. We are dependent on you. It's a gift. So I pray that you would awaken us in Jesus' name. There's two sides to my message. One side, the first freedom I'm going to be speaking on is the freedom that we've never experienced. So if we don't have no relationship with God, if we've never been born again, never experienced salvation, we don't have freedom. That's the first part of the freedom I'll be talking about. The second part is if we know God, how do we walk out our life with God, our relationship with God in freedom? So there's going to be two parts to my message. I'll share a testimony. My brother-in-law, Alex, is from Guatemala. I'll share his testimony of how he was born again, how he received salvation from God. And then I'll jump in. So just giving a picture of what it looks like to be saved. And I know a lot of us know what it's like, but I'll share it anyway. So Alex is from Guatemala, and his childhood was, he grew up on the streets. There was no mentorship in his life. There was no father, no mother. He was raised by grandma and grandpa, and they didn't care that much about his life. So he grew up on his own for the most part and raised by kids his age. And that can go pretty crazy. I mean, they pretty much did what they wanted to do. And so a lot of kids did in Guatemala. So he was introduced very early to sex, drinking, and partying, drugs, doing whatever they wanted to do, working from a really young age and living the way he wanted to live. So having that childhood and coming over here at, I think, 18 or 17 or something, and this America gave him that much more of an opportunity to live out those selfish desires, the lust that he had in his heart. And so he quickly started crashing, having those tendencies in his heart, took on gambling habits, drinking, sleeping around, just anger problems. So he had a very dark life. And he told me, recently he told me he had no feelings for anybody. He didn't think about anybody. He didn't consider anybody. He felt he was a very selfish individual. He only lived for himself. But got married to my sister, and personally, I was scared of what he could do to my family. I didn't like him because of what he could have done to my family. I didn't trust him. But this man that I just explained experienced salvation about 2.5 years ago. My dad went on a 21-day fast, fasting and praying for my sister's family, Alex, my sister, and the nephews. And sometime after the 21-day fast, he got convicted by the Holy Spirit of the life that he was living. Started feeling great conviction, started seeing his sin for what it is. The Holy Spirit started opening his understanding to the life that he was living. Never before has he felt conviction or guilt of the life that he was living. Within two or some days, he had given his life to the Lord. At work, he just gave his life to God. Here I am. I don't know the details of that. But the life that Alex is living now to the life that he lived are night and day. He's two different people. He's a husband, a great husband. He's a great father. He stewards his home well. He took on, if there was remodeling that needed to happen in the home, he didn't know what a screwdriver was. He didn't know what a hammer or a... he didn't know tools. He had no concept of handling tools. He remodels things in his house. He takes on projects that are fairly complex. He's taking care of his yard, doing Bible studies, prayer meetings in his house every night. So it's transformational. He experienced God. And so that's why I'll be talking about the first half of my sermon. So Ephesians chapter 2. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Paul is talking, he's writing to believers, but I want to talk about it from the perspective of before they got to know the Lord. So that way we get a clear picture of what it's like to be set free in God. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. And so we're dead. Apart from being saved, apart from having salvation in Christ, apart from experiencing being born again and having a relationship with God, we're dead. the spirit that we have on the inside, our spirit is dead. Apart from God breathing life into us, it's dead. And so what Paul is saying is that we're dead in trespasses and sins apart from knowing God. Verse 2, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. The first part of that verse, that you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. I like this because many people I've talked to say, well, I want to do my own thing. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm not going to follow Satan or his agenda or God and whatever his kingdom is all about. I'm going to do my own thing. I live my life the way I want. Well, actually, that's not doing your own thing. You are, but it's a form of selfishness which plays into the very hand of the enemy. You were actually saying yes to the power of the air, of the prince of the power of the air. So you're saying yes to his agenda, which is really interesting. You're not living your own life according to what you want to be doing. You're playing his cards. You're playing his game. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, there's a spirit at work inside of you if you don't know Jesus. If Jesus Christ doesn't have dominion and power over your spirit, if what Jesus Christ did on the cross, what he did on the cross is a display of canceling the power of darkness over our lives. See, Satan had authority over us, but Jesus broke that authority by dying on the cross. And so if we don't have that power of Jesus inside of us, we are submitted to the power of Satan inside of us. There's a scripture that says, the world is in a sway of the wicked one. So he has an agenda with this earth, with this world. Satan has an agenda. Are we going to say yes to his scheme, his plan, his agenda, or contrary, what Jesus' plan is, what his agenda is for this world? Among whom also, verse 3, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. So before Alex, or before myself, and before many in this room, and many I'm sure who will be listening to this, before you knew the Lord, you conducted yourselves. Conducting yourself is organizing and carrying out a certain life. So, again, I just want to emphasize that there is no your own agenda. There is no your own life. If we don't say yes to Jesus' agenda over our lives, we're saying yes to the agenda of the enemy. So we conducted ourselves, verse 3, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. And I'll go into more detail at the end of this sermon here, what it looks like to not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But the heart and the mind, if not in Christ, they lust for self. They lust for things apart from God. They lust for more money. They lust for the things of this world. And they're evident. They really are. But they can also be subtle and not so evident. But you will know the children of God if they have submitted a life that is contrary to these lusts and the lust of the world. And we're by nature wrath, just as the others. So, if not in Christ, by nature, we're predestined for wrath. There's one thing that's waiting us. It's the wrath of God. But the next verse, which is a verse of hope and of mercy, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. That's freedom. The word lust itself is, give me, what can I get? Give me, what can I get? It's that selfish ambition that's never satisfied. The longing of a human soul what satisfies the longing of a human soul is love. God is love, which is God. And so it does not say, give me, give me. And this whole lusting, give me, give me, it never satisfies. I've tried, and I'm sure everybody in here has tried. It's even as a Christian, with one of my greatest pastimes, or one of the things that I really enjoy, is a football game and ice cream and just lounging and just. But even after like 6 or 7, 8 hours of doing that, it's like, go home and pass out and get ready for Monday. It's like I've tried it. It just leaves me dead, and it's like lust doesn't fulfill. And if I enjoy it. It's a pleasure of mine. But if I do it in the context of trying to fulfill my soul, which I have sadly. But it does not. It leaves me like, bleh. It's like that. It's just like a blah. I don't know how to explain it, I guess, except for that. So, but love is not that. Love is what can I give, and it serves. It's over out of the overflow. So it's contrary to lust. I just put that in there for some reason. I don't know where I'm getting it from. It's not part of the scripture here, but I give myself three bunny trails while I'm preaching. Anyway, so this is number one. I have two more. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespass, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. That's 4 and 5. I like this. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, because of his great love with which he loved us. So it's out of his love he has mercy. It's not out of mercy he has mercy. It's out of the context of love he has mercy for us. And gives us this free gift of freedom, of salvation, of a life that pursues a lifestyle of lust and trying to fulfill the heart's desire of lust. It only leads to bondage. That was my point with the football and lounging and just even pursuing finances. It doesn't satisfy you. And so Jesus, like, in my great mercy, my great love, I have mercy towards you. I want to give you a gift of freedom from this lifestyle of bondage. Even when we're dead in trespasses. When I think of something as dead, I think of it as dead. And so for a person to think of, I was dead before I knew the Lord, and for me to pursue God is ludicrous. He has to pursue me and reach out to me to pull me out of the pit that I was in. And he did. Out of his great mercy and love, he pulled me out of the pit that I was in, which was, I was a mess. You all know my testimony. And raised us up together, verse 6, raised us up together, what made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. I don't really fully understand 6 and 7, so I'm not even going to jump into them. I think it's complex a little bit. So I'm just going to skip to verse 7. Verse 8, I'm not skipping scripture. I'm not just like, I don't like that. No, I'm just saying I'm just going to preach on a different topic. Verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. Does it seem like there's a, just repeating here? It seems like he's saying the same thing, and I feel like I might be, but there's more to it. There's emphasis here of you're saved by grace in his great mercy, and it's just emphasizing that. But that's okay, because we need to hear it, and it's good. And so, I feel like it just goes deeper, and it's targeting, it's going towards a target. And so, by verse 10, you'll have reached your target, what Paul is trying to say. We will have reached our target. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and then out of yourselves it is the gift of God. So it's a free gift. So today, if you are caught up in this lifestyle of just pursuing, and not getting anywhere, here's the thing. If even this, I feel like in our nation we're struggling with, well, I feel like you're a guy. God created you as a male. Let's say I'm talking from my perspective. God created you as a male, and you're confused about your gender, and so you're feeling like a girl, and you think true freedom will come by becoming a girl, so to speak. There's no true freedom in that. Homosexuality, wanting more money, the next high, alcohol. No, it's not going to happen. There's true freedom by the grace of God. The freedom and salvation come as a gift. Verse 8. It's through faith and not out of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. I want to highlight in verse 9 that this freedom, this salvation that's offered to us by God, it's a free gift because if it wasn't, if Dave has, if he was able to give more money to get salvation than me, there would be an issue. He would be able to boast. If Dorian was able to forsake more of his, he was able to give up a home or give up a car, he's able to forsake more of his natural possessions than me to get salvation, he would be able to boast. So it makes perfect sense in God's wisdom that salvation, freedom in Christ, is a free gift. It's it. this actually hit me some years ago that I can't earn. In my flesh, in my own ability, there's not, even in my salvation, now I'm walking with the Lord. Even in my walk, there's nothing I can do to earn or to get. It's amazing, because if I could, I could boast. And if I could boast, that's sin. Because where does the boasting end? In our natural human tendencies of competitiveness. Where would the boasting end? We actually have a joke at work like that. We do this ness thing. We're like, it's funny because I was thinking this morning at my job, I just randomly just sometimes preach for like just a little bit here and there. I think we all do, actually. All of us kind of preach to each other. But I was thinking this morning, I was like, I get to preach in front of people and more people than at work, you know. And like I said, Brendan does it once in a while, and he has a word that provokes us. It's true. He really does. Wayne has a word that provokes us. And I love our work environment. I really love it. We provoke each other. But anyway, so verse 9 and now verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Earlier when I was preaching on pursue, let's say you're a male and you pursue being a female to set yourself free, this is the verse I wanted to speak it out of. So actually I preached it ahead of time. But this is what my point here in verse 10 is, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them, that we're created for good works. And so if God created you as a male, the good work is in the context of a male. A female is a female. No, there's no freedom in being a homosexual. If you are created a male, it's not your destiny. You're created for good works, which are in Christ, in the context of in God and freedom. And true freedom comes in that, you saying yes to. True freedom is not stepping outside of what God's design is. True freedom is stepping inside of what God has for you. And here's the world is in a swift wicked one. See, he is the prince of the power of the air. See, and so he actually has an agenda. And if we buy into his lies, and one of his lies is there's freedom in being high. Well, you know, pursue the desires of your heart, even if they're carnal, they're filled with hatred and bitterness. Pursue them, and there's freedom in that. That's his agenda. He has an agenda. Don't fool yourself. So, but God has an agenda. And there's freedom in the context of following Jesus, following his commandments. It's like, no, that's bondage. No, that's freedom. It seems ludicrous and it seems twisted, don't it? To actually obey something is freedom? Yes, because that's where truth lies. That's where your creative purpose lies. So that makes perfect sense if you have a right mindset. So, amen. There you go. And then now we're going to skip on to the second half of my sermon, which, like I said, it's going to target if you have experienced salvation, if you have experienced initial freedom in Jesus, you have a relationship, how do we walk out freedom? Since the Bible says we've been set free, we are no longer we're not an old creation, we're a new creation in Christ. But is it really, there's times where I struggle. It's like I don't experience this freedom that it is, it's available to us. But I want to encourage us. I want to encourage us, give us points on how to walk this out. Galatians 5. Yeah, I remember I was first saved, and the best way of explaining how I felt when I was not saved is I felt like I was in a pit of tar, so to speak, like in a this sticky tar that wouldn't let me go. That's how once I got saved and following the Lord, this image that best explains my salvation is I'm in a sticky tar. And when I first gave my life to the Lord, my desires changed. I wanted to go to church. I wanted to read the Bible. I had the desires that normally would come when the Holy Spirit lives in you. You had good desires. You desire to do good. And for months, I thought that God would let go of me and let me fall back into this pit of tar again. I didn't know God and I know how his kingdom works. I didn't know you're saved and old things have become new. I thought I was going to go back to this tar, which sounds crazy now, but then it was a logical thought for me. I thought the Lord would let go of me and let me fall back into this tarry pit. But no, he destined us for good works and for freedom. Amen. On verse 10, actually, I skipped it. Verse 10 about he created us for good works. I want to smash this lie that, well, I'm always going to struggle with anger, or I'm always going to struggle with thinking lustful thoughts, or I'm always going to struggle with having finances problems. No. You were created for good works. You were created, you were his workmanship. You're created, you're destined for freedom, and that's the bottom line. And so there's, you can smash that lie, and you can believe and hope for better things than being in a lifestyle of a certain perpetuation of a certain habit of a certain thing that you hate about yourself. It's like, no, the Lord didn't destine you for that. Okay, verse 5. Oh, I'm going to preach, I think, the whole chapter. No, yeah, the whole chapter. But I'm going to skip again. So, I don't like this one. No, it's not true. I like the whole counsel of God. The full counsel. Verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. I like that. Paul is writing to a church that they were discussing circumcision, literal circumcision, and that to get right standing before God, you need to be circumcised. And Paul was addressing it. But I'll be speaking on it from the same thing, except from a different perspective of walking freedom and not saying yes to wrong beliefs and wrong thought patterns. So he says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. So to having been set free, stand fast in it. Be encouraged. You can be, for me, I believe that I'll have to go back to that tarry pit again. Like, no, he set you free. Stand fast in the freedom that you've been set free with. As you've received salvation, walk it out. It's a free gift initially, and it's a free gift as the grace of God is a free gift to empower you to walk it out. By the same liberty you've been set free with, stand fast in it, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. What brings a yoke of bondage? Believing wrong things. Believing that I'll always struggle with alcohol. Or believing that I'll always have broken relationships in my life. It'll never get fixed. No. Jesus created you for good works, for freedom. Amen? And so to get entangled with something is yoking yourself with a lie. A yoke is to put two... I'm sure somebody else can explain it better, but basically it's a piece of wood that puts two ox together so they can pull and work together in complete unity. So to not yoke ourselves, to not harness ourselves, put ourselves together with a lie that is not from God. And that's how we keep ourselves from bondage, is we yoke ourselves to truth and to what God says. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. That wasn't on my notes. But I'll say it anyway, that in that context, they were saying works of the flesh, works of our own ambition, will give us right standing before the Lord. No, it's works of faith in love. Works of faith and love that will profit you in giving right standings before the Lord, not of our own works. Does our love and our faith in God produce works? Yes, but it's from the context of faith and love. From that context. Verse 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working itself through love. So it's again, it's not by outer action. It's not by what I can do. Our faith does have works, but it's in the context of faith in love in Christ. Verse 13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. One of the main reasons why I even prayed the prayer to God to help me before I knew the Lord, I was like, God, help me. That was my main prayer. But that prayer came from a heart of, I need freedom. I'm in such bondage, I couldn't live. I was restricted in so many ways. I'm like, God, help me. And so once the Lord set me free, I didn't really know how to harness that freedom. I just had a lot of freedom, and I didn't know how to live. And so I worked at the Court of Provision, and I was around about 200 different people, and it was the perfect context for me. I loved it there. I loved the people. It was very fast-paced. I was able to share the gospel with a lot of people, hang out with a bunch of different nationalities, ethnicity groups. And so it was the perfect context for me. God put me there, and so I thrived there. But what I noticed, I started using that freedom of having a good time and just hanging out, I started using for selfish gain and selfish ambitions. I started using my freedom, the freedom that Christ had given me to serve and to love one another, I started using for myself. The Lord's like, you've been given freedom, not for yourself, yes, for yourself, but it's actually to serve one another in love to serve one another. But here's the good news, that if Kelly is set free and serves me in that love, in that context of freedom, it serves me in love, and I in return serve him as the church should, then we're both edified. That was verse 13. Verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So I feel like we're back to the same thing we started with, but it's in the context of you knowing Jesus. So this thought that because I desire to walk in holiness, because I desire to walk in love, this thought that comes to my mind, I want to walk in the Spirit, I want to not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. I don't want to fall today. I don't want to stumble. Actually, that's the wrong mindset. The right mindset would be to do walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So keep your mind on the Lord. Keep your mind on things above. Keep your mind on the things of the Spirit, and you will not. The byproduct of that is you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Make sense? Praise God. All right, verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Praise God. And it seems like it's a complex subject to say we're not of the law. It seems like it's a complex subject to say that we're not under, so we don't do works. It's like we're not under the law. Well, we're not under the law because the law brings death. The perfect law, which is holy, God's law is holy, brings death. It reveals the very issues in us. So it has no life in itself. The law itself it doesn't bring life. It produces death. It does its job. But it's a tutor. It actually should lead us to God, which brings grace to save us and empower us to do the very thing the law says, to live holy. Amen. So if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. You are in Christ. Now the works of the law, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery. I'm going to read through them. There's a bunch of them. And that's the works of the flesh. And the reason I want to highlight them is because we'll actually see some of those operating in our lives. And that's how I want to finish my sermon is we'll see carnality and flesh and lust to some degree operating in our lives as believers. But what do we do about it? Do we just kind of sit in it? No, this is what we can do about it. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, rivalries, and the like of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. We'll see, like I said, some of those are actually, there's hints of them in our lives. And so, to not be discouraged to think that we should just stay in those actions, but also to not be okay with it. And here's the reason why. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. We can't be lukewarm about allowing the things of the flesh to operate in our lives. We shouldn't be passive and lukewarm about it. It's because here's the thing, there's a danger behind it. It can grow and manifest itself to be bigger and more and more. So to have selfish ambitions and to be okay with it and not to take care of it, it's just not okay. We are to know that there's hope outside of it, to get out of it and to deal with it. For those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. I like the divider here. It's really simple. Verse 19, it says, now the works of the flesh are evident. They're clear. They're pretty obvious. I think they're sometimes hard to detect in our own lives or even in seeing in other people that actually have the very issue of the lust of the flesh. But they're evident. They're hard to detect because there's just small measures of it. Because they're actually crucified. See, let's say selfish ambition. That is actually crucified to me. I don't live with selfish ambition. I might have hints of it, but it has no power over me. So that's encouraging. So we should never let it have power and a stronghold in our lives. How do we war against hatred? The reason I won't bring up, I don't even know what sorcery is, honestly. But there's a lot of them, I just don't know what they are. Lewdness. I wrote down a side note, driven by lust. That's what lewdness is. I must have looked it up. So anyway, how do we fight and combat hatred? Well, the Bible, Paul says, this is the works of the Spirit are this. So let's say hatred, you're noticing, there's times where I'm like, I struggle with hate. So how do you combat that? Love. And that's the fruit of the Spirit are these. How do you produce fruit? Well, okay, so let's say you're faced with hate. Let's say you're faced with selfish ambition. Let's say you're faced with adultery issues. You're faced with fornication, uncleanness. You're faced with that, combat it with the fruit of the Spirit and produce fruit. That's an opportunity for the Holy Ghost to actually be, for the Holy Ghost to do a work in you and for you to come to maturity. Freedom, maturity, and you're also able to use that freedom to serve your brother who struggles with that very thing. So that's how you produce fruit, and that's how you grow in maturity. And for years, it's like you hear they say, produce fruit, produce fruit, produce fruit. It's like, what is fruit, and how do you produce fruit as a Christian? Well, that's how you do it. You are envious on somebody. Like, if you're envious about somebody else's life, you're like, okay, I see this envy issue in my life. It's crucified to me. It has no power, but I'm going to serve. Jealousy, the same way. I'm repeating myself, but I really want us to get it. Because it's so simple, but it can happen, Cindy, on your farm. Me at my work. Kelly at your job. It can happen in your house. For instance, Saturday morning, I like to tell football stories when Moses is in the room. Where's Moses? So I love that little dude. But Saturday morning is our football day, our football morning. I get so wound up. I can't even sleep sometimes. And it's like I wake up at 1:30. I wake up at 4:30. And I'm like, ah. But the good thing about that is I get to turn on a new sermon and listen to another 10 minutes until I fall asleep. But I get so wound up and nervous, and that nervousness and that excitement comes out on my nephews. And it doesn't come out good sometimes. Saturday morning, it came out, and my nephew is turned 13, and Kendall's shown light on what happens to a 13-year-old. They get cocky. They get... I felt like he wasn't respecting me like he used to. He doesn't love me and see me the way he used to. I'm seeing glimpses of that, and I get scared, and I'm like, I freak out. I'm like, where's Waylon at? Where's my little buddy? Where's that little buddy at? And we've been doing the same stretches for the last 2 years, the same workouts, karaoke. We've been doing the same things, and all of a sudden he has an issue with them. We've been doing this for 2 years. Why are you all of a sudden having an issue? Okay. Anyway, that's how I acted with him. I must not have gotten over it. But the Holy Ghost inside of me was like prompting me not to treat him this way and that way, because it only provoked him more. It got worse instead of better. I disrespected him. I even talked about him behind him to my other nephew, Dante. I even talked, I slandered him. And it was, and the Holy Spirit's like, don't do that. And I did it anyway. So that's an opportunity. Allow the Holy Ghost that convicts you to produce that Spirit of God inside of you. I didn't that morning. I'm just highlighting it. But I love him, and since then we have a close relationship. But I was scared of losing that closeness with him. And when they get older like that, I'm sure you know it. Parents, you know it. So anyway, so that's how you do that. Verse 24, and those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Verse 24, that's the scripture I wanted to use with emphasizing. The flesh has been crucified to a believer. It's like old things have passed away, new things have come. That's true. Does that mean we never struggle with envy, jealousy? No, it's not true. It's been crucified, has no power. Jesus Christ died on a cross, making an open spectacle of Satan. He disarmed Satan and his authority over God's children. So that's true. His power has no, he has no power over us. He's been disarmed. So we have victory in those areas. So those issues have been crucified to our flesh. If we live it in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit to do those things, produce fruit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Conceited is proud of oneself. So, amen. That's it. We will pray into this just for a few minutes. I want us to stand up just so that we're just to engage ourselves. Praise God. So I'm going to pray. Is there music? I'm just going to pray just for a few minutes. And just, I want us to engage in prayer. I love this. I feel like this is family. In my heart, I just feel like I'm in the midst of my family. And it's like, you guys could minister to me and you could serve. You have as many good things to say and better than I do. But it's not that. It's family. And so as much as Dave has to offer, I have to offer, and Jake, and vice versa. So we all have to offer. And this is what I'm offering today, is that we pursue the Lord, that we say yes to what he has for us. Is there music, Alex? It's coming. So I want us to engage as a family together. I want us to engage our heart, our mind to the Lord. So God, encounter us. I want us to encounter God. I want us to experience freedom, experience like those issues in our hearts that have just been dominating our hearts. So the fleshly lust, those things. I want to say yes to freedom this morning. So let's engage God in prayer. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, convict our hearts. Edify us, build us up, encourage us. Jesus, God, you are love, and that you love us well. You serve us well. I just pray that you would do a work in our hearts this morning. I pray, we just ask, even those listening would experience elements of freedom this morning. I just feel God's love over us. He desires for us to come into freedom. He desires for us to experience the life-giving Spirit of God inside of us, the hope of glory within us. Amen. His chains being broken. It's interesting. In the context of the cross, in the context of walking in the Spirit, that chain supposedly has a hold on us. If we're Christ, that chain is actually already broken. We just need to agree with it. So many times I feel like we see sin issues or habits or issues in our lives as a chain completely together. No. It says he broke the power of Satan over our lives. Satan has no authority. So we need to believe that. We need to agree that Satan's strongholds have broken over our lives. We just need to agree with God's truth. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That lie that we'll always just struggle with this, we'll always just be this way. No. Thank you, Jesus. Set us free. A new creation in Christ. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Pour out your Spirit, God. Pour out your Spirit. Touch our hearts. I just pray for those online even, Father, that they would experience freedom like they've never experienced before. Thank you, Lord. Let's keep engaging our hearts and our minds to the Lord. It's like, what do you have, God? What do you have for me today? What do you have for me? If you're free, if you're feeling good, it's like, I want more. It's like the apostles, the early church, man, they experienced the baptism of the Holy Ghost again and again and again. We want more, Jesus. To influence the world around us, we need light. To influence the world around us for the kingdom, we need power. The difference between any other religion, the religion of Christianity, the belief of Christianity, is this: power and love. Love and power. Love in power. Jesus, we just ask that you would manifest your love in our hearts. I just ask, if there's a people group that we struggle to love, we just pray that you will give us a supernatural grace to love that people group. We just ask that you will give us a supernatural grace to walk in the Spirit in our workplaces, in our homes, in our families, to not consider it light to walking in the flesh. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit. That's good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that the world would see that you rose from the dead, Jesus. That you rose from the dead because of our love for each other, because of the way we love. It's not okay to be envious. It's not okay to be jealous. It's not okay to have outbursts of wrath. That the world would see clearly the light of Christ in us by how well we forgive, how well we live our lives. We walk in the Spirit. Father, I just feel like a brother spoke this word to me the other day. It's like, many times I feel like I fail. I fail walking in the Spirit and walking in the way that God he calls us to. It's like, in the context of failure, there's one thing to do. You can't just sit there and mope. You're like, do right what you just failed at. It's like, seriously. It's like, get up, do it again. Like, not fail, but get up and go after it again.
Everything so, around you is shake. Everything around you is
new. Love you, Jesus. Amen. Love you guys. Thank you, Jesus.
That was an incredible word, wasn't it, guys? I just feel so blessed. Yeah, thank you, Stanley. That was awesome.